Good evening. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 52 from the hardbacked hymnal, 52. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon our Savior's brow. Let's all stand. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train, who fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. And carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave, and saves me from the grave.
Please be seated.
Saves me from the grave. The last enemy, he's conquered. Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 71? Psalm 71. Now flip over page to Psalm 72. We're going to preach from Psalm 71. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 72 for our call to worship. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills thy righteousness. Already three times righteousness is mentioned. This is at the heart and soul of the gospel, isn't it? These little hills, that's the church. Those are the individual congregations that bring to God's people the righteousness of Christ. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. Those who have no righteousness of their own are in need of a righteousness before God. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. And his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him, and all the nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's pray. Our merciful and gracious and glorious Heavenly Father, we would not dare approach your presence without pleading the blood of thy dear Son, his righteousness, and our acceptance in him. But oh, what comfort and what hope and what peace we have in knowing that you are satisfied with him, you are pleased with him, and for all those that are in him. Lord, all your works are wondrous. We pray that you would do a work of grace for us tonight. For Lord, we are the poor and needy that you have spoken of in your word. We have no righteousness of our own. We're in need of your help, Lord, in our time of need. And we ask that you would be gracious to us now in this hour. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 44 from the Spiral Hymnbook, number 44. Let's all stand.
Precious Savior, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy Spirit dwell within us with that love that casts out fear. Matchless Savior, let us know thee as the Lord our righteousness. Cause our hearts to cleave unto thee. Come and with thy presence bless. Open now thy precious treasure. Let thy word here freely flow. Give to us a gracious measure. 'Tis thyself we long to know. Come and claim us as thy portion. Let us all find rest in thee. Leave us not to empty notions. We would find our hope in thee.
Please be seated.
I don't know how many times the word righteous or righteousness is found in the Word of God, but I know it's many, many, many times. It is at the heart and the soul of the gospel of God's saving grace in the finished work and perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word righteousness translated means perfect obedience to the law. Perfect obedience to the law. We just read from Psalm 72 just a few verses, and we saw the word righteousness mentioned three times. Here in Psalm 71, You'll find the word righteousness in verse 2, referring to the ground of our salvation. Now, the doctrine is the righteousness of Christ. That's the doctrine. But the hope of our salvation is not in a doctrine. Though doctrines are precious to us, and we do believe in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our faith is in the person of Christ. And Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And here in Psalm 71, the Lord makes it clear that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ground of our salvation. In verse 15, the word righteousness is used, referring to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the reason for our rejoicing. In verse 16, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is made mention of as the subject of our preaching. In verse 19, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ our righteousness, is spoken of as the unsearchable meditation of our hearts. And in verse 24, Christ our righteousness is mentioned as the one who is our witness and delivers us from the shame of those who would not look to the righteousness of Christ for their salvation. The subject of righteousness is, as I've said, at the heart and soul of the gospel. Turn with me before we look at Psalm 71. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, no sinner will see his need for Christ as their righteousness until God is pleased to reveal Christ to them. Because until then, they will trust in their own righteousness. They will compare themselves to other men and believe themselves to be at least above average. They will compare themselves to themselves and believe themselves to be getting better. And these righteousnesses, look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 3. He says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." Oh, the religious, the self-righteous go about judging themselves by others, or judging themselves by themselves. And he goes on to say in verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified?" Am I not hereby justified? How am I going to be justified before God? Paul's saying, if you want to compare yourself to one another, you want to compare yourself to yourself, go right ahead. He said, "I'm not going to let you compare me to you. And I'm not going to compare you to me, and I'm not comparing myself to myself. And yet I'm justified before God." How am I justified before God? By the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all my righteousness. That word justified means I've never done it. I've not no sin before God. I'm perfect, sinless, obedient to the law of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, you go about comparing yourself to one another all you want. I'm justified before God. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. He's going to judge me by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have his praise of God. Isn't this a description of the world in which we live? Isn't that a description of our own flesh? You know, we're prone, are we not, in a fleshly sense, to compare ourselves to one another? To compare ourselves to ourselves. And all these things are contrary to the standard by which God judges. God judges by the standard of his righteousness. And his righteousness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to Psalm 71. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10? He said, speaking of his brethren in the flesh that were in Judaism, he said, my heart's desire before God is that they would be saved. And yet, he says, they are ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't know that there's a righteousness that God requires. They think that God just requires them to do their best. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say to me, well, I'm doing my best. Doing my best. Well, here's the truth. Your best will never, ever be good enough. Ever. God requires perfection. Righteousness. Perfect compliance and obedience to his law in thought and in attitude and in action all the time. That's God's requirement. And the religious, ignorant of God's righteousness, go about trying to establish their own righteousness, not knowing that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who ever satisfied the demands of God's law. And so, in verses 1, 2, and 3 of Psalm 71, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ground of our righteousness. He is the ground of our righteousness. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Confusion. Lord, give me singleness of mind and heart to trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for my righteousness, to not be confused in trying to figure out whether or not I've got enough good works to please God. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Cause me to escape. That's what you and I need. We need a way of escape. We need a way of escape. The Lord said, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape, that you might be able to bear it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way of escape. And now David's praying, Lord, cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Save me. I've had people say to me, well, you know, God's already saved me. I don't have to pray for God to save me again. I confess to you, that's the most often prayer I pray. Lord, save me. Save me. I know I've asked you to save me in the past. Lord, I need saving again and again and again. To whom coming? Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. That's how we come, don't we? As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? as a dead dog sinner in need of being saved. That's how you received him the first time, with no righteousness of your own. You came to him poor and needy, as a mercy beggar. Isn't that true? We never grow beyond that, do we? Never get beyond that. We just keep coming the same way we came the very first time. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're always in need of having the Holy Ghost to be renewed in our hearts, aren't we? We grieve the Spirit of God. We lose sight of him, and we're always in need of coming back the same way over and over and over again. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 51 verse 8. My righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. My righteousness shall be forever. My salvation shall be from generation to generation. Oh, brethren, we have no righteousness outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. None. None. You and I have never, ever kept one of God's laws one time. Not to his satisfaction. Not to his satisfaction. Paul said, considering the righteousness which is by the law, I was blameless before men. Before men. Oh, and he was proud of himself too, wasn't he? He had excelled among the Jews. As a young man, had already been a part of the Sanhedrin, and he was moving on up. Why? Because he was impressing his peers with his righteousness. And that which I thought was gain to me, that which I thought was to my advantage, was the very thing that was keeping me from the Lord Jesus Christ, because I thought I had a righteousness. And my righteousnesses are now dung. They're nothing to them. There's nothing to them. All of my righteousnesses are in Christ. The very first time that righteousness is mentioned in the scriptures is found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, when the scripture says, of Abraham, he believed in him, and he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. And that passage is repeated back in Romans chapter 4, isn't it? Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. The righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ as our righteousness, is the ground of our salvation. There's no salvation outside of that. And until the Lord is pleased to reveal himself in his perfect obedience to God, in his glorious deity, we will trust in our own righteousness. We will think that we've got some righteousness. We'll be just like Saul of Tarsus. We'll be just like those Jews of Romans chapter 10. We'll be just like everybody else, going about trying to establish our own righteousness, comparing ourselves to one another, comparing ourselves to ourselves, and comforting ourselves with a false peace. That's what the false prophets say. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They point men to look to themselves. You know, when I'm listening to preaching, if I'm left looking to myself, I'm in confusion. I'm confused. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Have I done enough? Have I done it right? There's confusion when you're looking to yourself. Romans chapter 4, you have your Bibles open there. Now Paul, as the Lord, is giving us that experience of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. And he says, He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found?" Now what's Abraham? Abraham's called the father of the faithful. So however Abraham was saved is how we're going to be saved. "And if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Men glory in their works. Paul said in Colossians, he said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if salvation come by works, then Christ has died in vain." Christ had died in vain if it's of works. And you can't mix works and grace. It's either one way or the other. If it is of works, it can no longer be of grace. Otherwise, works is not. Grace is not grace. You cannot mix the two. "For what saith the scriptures?" That settles every controversy, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what this denomination says or what that denomination says or what this preacher says or what I think or what you think. It doesn't matter. All that's nothing but speculation, theory, as we saw Sunday, isn't it? Men just have their theories, don't they? "What saith the scriptures? Abraham," Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed or charged to his account for righteousness." Now, does that mean that Abraham offered up his faith to God as the means of his righteousness, and that God accepted that faith and rewarded him for that faith? No. Faith is a complete admission of my total inability before God. That's all faith is. Faith isn't my spiritual strength that I offer to God to be rewarded with his righteousness. Faith is my confession of not having any righteousness. It's saying, "Lord, if Christ's righteousness is not sufficient for me, I have no hope. I have no hope." "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." If salvation is by works, then God owes you. It's not of grace, it's of debt. You have made God to be a debtor. He must reward you for your works. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." See, if faith is some sort of a spiritual strength that we have in ourselves that we can offer to God, and why does God say that in the same verse that we're ungodly? See, read it again. "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith." Through faith. "And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." Faith is nothing more than the rope that connects the boat to the anchor. It's the anchor that holds us. The anchor of our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is that line that connects us to him. And faith is the gift of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're dependent upon the Lord to give us faith, to believe on Christ. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 8. "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne," now this is God the Father speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls his Son God. He says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now a king's scepter is the symbol of his power, of his authority. And now the Lord, the Father speaking to the Son says, your authority is your righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now we are the fellows of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the Spirit of God by measure. By measure. You see that in your own experience, don't you? There's times when you just feel like you're being overwhelmed with the grace of God by the power of His Spirit, enabling to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in Him. And then there's other times when you feel like the heavens are brass. And that's the Spirit of God. We have Him in measure. But the Lord Jesus Christ came as the Christ, the Anointed One, in the full power of the Spirit of God. So God says, because of your righteousness, I've anointed you with the oil of gladness, that's the Holy Spirit, above your fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Oh. The ground of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. One more passage of Scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Here's what God's children say. In the Lord have I righteousness. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I have righteousness before God. His kingdom, his scepter is a kingdom of righteousness. And strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel glory. Glory. They glory in him, don't they? We glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing to glory in ourselves. Why is self-righteous religion so offensive? Why is it something that you would never go back to? Because men are glorying in themselves, aren't they? They're robbing from the Lord Jesus Christ his glory. And they're taking upon themselves the righteousness that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ only. Only. Go back with me to Psalm 71. Verse 4. We didn't read verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. What did God command the Lord Jesus? If righteousness is obedience to the law of God, perfect obedience, compliance to God's command and God's will, with all your heart, all your mind, and all of your soul, all the time. What did God send the Lord Jesus Christ to do? He sent him to save his people, didn't he? He commanded him. And he kept that commandment. He accomplished their salvation. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. We can see in these Psalms, once again, the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ from Calvary's cross. those cruel men that hated him without a cause, those men that said he saved others, himself he cannot save. If God be his Father, let him come down. Let him come down. And the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father and saying, Father, deliver me from these unrighteous, cruel men. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. From my youth. What gives more beauty and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from his crucifixion? That's where all of his attributes are most glorified, at the cross. But the incarnation of Christ, from my youth, he's going to say, from my mother's bowels, you've been with me. Here we have God being made flesh and dwelling among us. By thee have I holden, look at verse 6. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Continually. The Lord Jesus Christ was righteous, not only in that he kept the commandments, but that he continually worshiped God in truth and in spirit. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. He came unto his own. His own received him not. He was a wonder to his disciples. He was a wonder to his brethren. They didn't understand. Here was God in the flesh, living among them. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. I was reminded in preparation for this message something that I had never seen before in the scriptures. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of his old age. We know that he was but 30 years old when he began his public ministry, and 33 years old when he died on Calvary's cross. But here's a wonder. Here's a wonder. He was a man of sorrows, suffered the contradiction of sinners. Here he was, God, God, in all of his holiness, living in the body of flesh, born of a woman, born after the law, born under the law, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and suffering the contradiction of sinners. And when the Pharisees heard him say, before Abraham was, I am. Do you remember what the Pharisees said to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Caleb, you're about 30 years old, aren't you? Adam, you're about 30 years old. That's how old the Lord was. Do these men look 50 years old? They look old like me? Or like Scott? No, they don't, do they? And yet the Pharisees, when they spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, you're not yet 50 years old. Was it that the countenance and the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ was so aged that they mistook him for being almost 50 years old? We just have no idea. We live in this world most of the time enjoying the majority of it, don't we? He got all his joy from his Father. And he experienced nothing but grief from what he saw in this world. Now that's a holiness that you and I can't relate to. And here he's praying, in my old age, cast me not off when my strength faileth. I'm beginning to appreciate that prayer more and more myself. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, and there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. O Lord, come quickly. Make haste. I've been thinking about that prayer that we saw in Psalm 70. Lord, make haste. How oftentimes you and I need to just stop and say, Lord, you're going to have to come deliver me right now. Right now. You give me another minute, I'm falling into this. I'm going to be overwhelmed with this. Make haste, Lord. Come right now. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Now we have in verse 15 the second mention of righteousness, and it has to do with rejoicing. The Lord Jesus Christ is declaring that he's going to rejoice in the righteousness of his Father. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. You and I don't know how many days we have. Scripture says that we should redeem the time, for the days are evil. Scripture also makes it clear that life is a vapor. And we don't know how many days we have. We don't. I think 70? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. It is appointed. It is appointed by God unto every man to die. God has an appointed hour for each one of us to depart this world. And after that, the judgment. Oh, we don't want to stand in the presence of a holy God based on anything other than the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that's better than understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus as your righteousness. That's the Lord saying here, my mouth shall show forth. And this word mouth has to do with singing. It has to do with praise. He's saying, I'm going to sing praises and from my heart of thy righteousness. Now look at verse 16. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ as our righteousness the ground of our salvation, not only is he the cause of our rejoicing, but he's the subject of our preaching. You've heard me quote this verse here many times. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness and even of thine only. This topic of righteousness is, and yet, I'll say this again. Every person who's righteous believes themselves to be unrighteous. And every person who is unrighteous believes themselves to be righteous. They believe they have some righteousness, something to offer God. And it is their unrighteousness. It is their iniquity. And David says here, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. I have got no other righteousness to speak of other than yours. You remember the vision that Zechariah had in Zechariah chapter 4, the two olive trees representing the Spirit and the Word of God. And then in between was a candlestick with seven candles on it and a bowl for oil. And what was going from the olive trees to the candlestick? There were golden pipes, conduits bringing the oil from the Spirit and the Word. God never saves anyone with the Word of God only. And He never serves anyone with the Spirit of God only. Unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit of God blesses the Word of God to the hearts of God's people. That's the means by which God saves His people. And these two pipes are bringing the oil. You know, I thought, I remember reading how the preachers in England criticized John Gill because he said, "I only preach to believers." And what he meant by that was, believers are the only ones that hear the gospel. These pipes that were coming out of the olive trees, they weren't spraying oil all over the place. They were taking that oil directly to the lamp. The only place the oil ever goes. I mean, we call all men everywhere to repent and come to Christ. But the outward call is ineffectual. It's the inward call of the Spirit of God. And we know that when we make the outward call, it is only when the Spirit of God issues forth the effectual inward call that a person is going to come. And so I agree with John Gill. We preach only to believers. We're not here to preach to the world. We're not here to change the world. We're not here to try to raise the morality of culture or to have an influence on. We're here to preach the gospel to God's people. And those conduits are only going to go to the lamp. The oil's not one drop of oil is going to be spilled. It's not going to be wasted. The oil is going to go to God's people. Only to God's people. They're the only ones are going to hear. Everyone else is going to go about trusting in their own righteousness. David said, "I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." We preach Christ and Him crucified. We tell men, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But how shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. This is the means. David says, and every time we preach, you say, "Boy, you sure talk about righteousness a lot." Yeah. And so does God. And it's the one subject that men won't hear. They won't hear it. Christ is the stone of stumbling. He's the rock of offense. Why is He so offensive? Because He leaves men without any righteousness. He strips you naked before God and He makes you to be nothing but sin. Nothing but sin. You have nothing before God but sin. And that David said, "I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the subject of our preaching, isn't He? Because He's the only righteousness that God's pleased with. The only one. Verse 17, "O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to every one that is to come." The strength of God, the power of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The strength of God, the power of God, is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? The Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness is the unsearchable meditation of the hearts of God's people. Lord, don't you love Psalm 139? David said, when I go into the heavens, thou art there, and down into the pits of hell, thou art there. When I go to the east, Lord, and he goes on to say, thy works are too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend them. I can't take it in. I know I have no righteousness of my own, and I know that all my righteousness is, but what is righteousness? I don't know by experience what it is. It's unsearchable. It's beyond my comprehension. I don't even know what a moment of righteousness is in my experience. The only way that I can have any righteousness is through faith. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for me. But that's unsearchable. How can the God of glory be made sin? But he did. That I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that's unsearchable. How can I? I can understand how you might be righteous before God, but how can I be righteous before God? Yeah, that's every believer's experience, isn't it? You know your own sin more than you know anybody else's, don't you? You see how someone else might have a righteousness before God, but you can't see how you could. How you could. It's unsearchable. It's incomprehensible. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. It's very high. Skip down to verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. Now, earlier he spoke of his mouth declaring his righteousness, and that word has to do with praise and worship. And now he's talking of his tongue talking. What does he say? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness is going to be my witness and my testimony to those who have no righteousness. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Men hate the message of God, of the righteousness of Christ. Men hate Christ. Just make it sense. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man hates him. You will not come unto me that you might have life. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. That's what the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ declares about me and you. That our deeds are evil. All our deeds. We've got to have Aaron, our high priest, bear the iniquity of the holy things in order for us to be acceptable in the presence of God. Our deeds are evil. Men don't want to hear that. Tell me I'm evil. Well, until the Lord causes us to say with Job, behold, behold, I see something I've never seen before. Now, I'm not going to get into a theological debate about when Job was converted. I've had people get angry at me before by suggesting that Job wouldn't convert until after he heard the gospel preached through Elihu because of the things that were said about Job at the beginning of the book. But those same things were said about Cornelius also before he heard the gospel and was converted. There's an outward righteousness and outward godliness that men can have before they're converted. And I don't know. I don't know when Job was converted. But I know that after he heard the gospel, he said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. Now I can't justify myself anymore. And behold, I am vile. He thought he was pretty good before that, didn't he? He thought he had some righteousness. He thought he had some justification before God. He thought he had something to offer God. And God had to strip him naked. I'm vile. I have no righteousness of my own. What a Savior. Perfectly obedient. Even unto death. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word, and Lord, we confess to You that we have spoken of things that we don't understand. We ask that You would give us faith to rest all the hope of our salvation on Thy dear Son, the Holy One of Israel, the righteousness of God. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Number 24, let's stand together.
Kenu, the Lord our righteousness. We love to call You by that name, our Savior Christ Jesus. Jehovah Sid Kenu, the God man live for us, bringing eternal righteousness, which God imputes to us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our substitute who died, Your blood has put away our sin, and we are justified. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Your love has won our praise. Trusting Your blood and righteousness, we're saved by Your free grace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, we stand in You alone. Our only fitness before God is in our Lord His Son. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Christ Jesus, You alone we call, the Lord our righteousness.